right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday morning service at Shield of Faith Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody here this morning. Great to see the smiling faces and ready to sing praise unto God, ready to hear God's word faithfully preached. Amen. So let's go ahead and grab our hymn books, please. They should be underneath the chair, directly in front of you, the red book, soul-stirring songs and hymns. Let's go ahead and grab that book and turn to number 198, Joy Unspeakable. And let's tell everybody about how great it is to be saved and the joy we have inside. Number 198, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. Let's sing it out with all our hearts. On the first,
I have found His grace is all complete and supplying every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. His joy unspeakable and
singing. Brother Moses, will you open us with a word of prayer, please?
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather here today to sing praises unto your name. I pray that you're with us as we continue to sing praises unto your name, and I pray that you're with Pastor as he comes forth to preach the message that you laid on his heart. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. All right, let's go to song number 379. Bringing in the sheaves, amen. One of the main reasons why we exist is to bring in the sheaves. 379, bringing in the sheaves. Let's sing it out. Lift up our voices. 379, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the morning. On the first.
Sowing in the morning. Sowing seeds of kindness. Sowing in the meantime. And the time. Waiting for the harvest. And the time of reaping. Rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadow. Bringing in the sheaves, come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves
on the last.
Rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves,
bringing in the sheaves,
bringing in the sheaves.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves,
bringing in the sheaves,
bringing in the sheaves.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Amen.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin or a pen or something like that, just raise your hand. We'll have someone drop one off for you. So let's go through these announcements here. Weekly church service time, Sunday mornings are at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays are at 7 p.m. Underneath that is a list of soul winning times. Soul winning is when we go out to the community to preach the gospel to the lost. If you have any questions, 208-391-5323. Next page, tonight we'll be in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 16. Today is daylight saving time, so if you forgot to set your clock back, you're still here early, so that was good. Also, more important than all that, we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner here at the church building, and there's a sign-up sheet on the table over here, so if you're interested in bringing something, write down what you would like to bring, and if you can't bring anything, obviously you can still show up, don't worry about it, okay? We're Baptist, there'll be plenty of food, so... let's see here. Look ahead. December 10th, Ladies Christmas Party. More details to come for that. Birthdays and anniversaries for November. So on the 18th, we have Big Girl Kyla, and then we have Brother Skulk on the 24th. Verse of the week, Matthew 10:16, which says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So we are a family-integrated church, and what that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. If you need privacy, moms, there's a mother-baby room right across the hallway. Dads, this office is open and ready to go for you if you need it. Let's see here. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so there's it's not a distraction. And we did put some new stuff back there in the blessing rack, so feel free to go rifle through that stuff if you want. And so with that being said, we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, let's grab those hymn books one more time. We'll turn to song number 29, At the Cross. And I really like that last song where it says, "We're fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilly breeze." So we keep going soul winning even in the winter, amen? Let's turn to song number 29, At the Cross. Sing it out. "Alas, and did my Savior bleed?" Song number 29, At the Cross.
"Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glories in. When at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. All right, don't forget, also inside your bulletin, there's a communication card. So if you have a prayer request or a praise or something of that nature, just drop it in the plate when it goes by. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here again this morning. Just pray that you'd bless the service, Lord, and be with us as we fellowship afterwards. Bring us back again safely tonight. And again, we do thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Morning, everybody. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, there's a cabinet there with Bibles in it, and one of the brethren can bring you one. Matthew 10. Starting in verse 1. And when he had called unto him 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon you. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not the two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Brother Vic, you want to pray for us?
Right, amen. Matthew chapter number 10, we're going to be looking down at verse number 16 for this morning's sermon. Look at verse number 16. So the Bible says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, the title of the sermon this morning is Facing the Wolf Pack. Facing the Wolf Pack. So basically what that means is, you know, all of us from time to time are going to find ourselves in the midst of wolves, right? People that want to devour us. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I found myself many times in life as the only Christian or the only one with, you know, certain values. And it can be very difficult. It can be very difficult to navigate that situation. You know, as Baptists, oftentimes we preach, you know, the ideal situation. Now, obviously, you have mom, dad, kids. You know, dad works, mom stays home with the kids. But, you know, that's not always possible for a lot of people. So what about those that have to go to public school? What about those women that have to work, okay? You have these ideals, you have these standards, you have these beliefs, but yet you find yourself in a position, unfortunately, because of life, in the midst of wolves. Does that mean you're just out? Does that mean there's no hope for you? Does that mean there's no help for you? I think you guys understand the answer to that question. Obviously, there is. There's wisdom to live by. There's wisdom to get us through life, and it doesn't involve having to harm other people physically, okay? So we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to learn what this verse means, how to apply it to our lives, and basically come out on top. That's what this is going to be about. Now, we talked about Matthew chapter 10 a little bit on Wednesday. And we're going to come back and we're going to take apart this mission trip, because basically Jesus calls the 12 disciples, sends them on a special mission, okay? Now he tells them not to bring scrip, not to bring their purse, obviously not a purse today that women would have, but obviously their bag. You know, it was a miracle mission, okay? There's a lot of these things that change when you read Luke chapter 22, you know, right before the crucifixion, Jesus says, hey, now you're going to bring your scrip, right? Now you're going to bring the Bible, now you're going to bring your bag, you're going to go prepare, okay? We're going to talk about those doctrinal things probably this Wednesday. But for now, we're going to actually break this verse down. So one more time, verse 16. So Jesus says this, okay? He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." A lot of people do not like being called sheep, but that's what people are, right? There's a saying out there, people are sheeple, and it's definitely true, okay? The idea here and the question is, who is your sheep, master? Who are you following? And so Jesus refers to his disciples as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, this would appear as a death sentence, right? I mean, obviously, what's stronger, the wolf or the sheep? Obviously, it's the wolf. They have more, they're more ferocious, they have more numbers, they're predators. The sheep, literally, by itself, harmless, you know, I mean, in many ways. And so he says, "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore," so for that reason, "be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So we're going to break that down. Now, keep your place there in Matthew chapter number 10, but if you would go to John chapter number 10, and let's take a look at something here. John chapter number 10. So John chapter number 10, look over at verse number 27. So Jesus here is battling, obviously, with the non-believing Pharisees, things of that nature. And they're not believing anything he's saying. They're not believing his doctrine. They don't believe the miracles. They don't believe any of this stuff here. And they're always trying to trap him, always trying to question his motives and things of that nature. And he basically says this to him. Look at verse 27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Okay? Now, he's not saying here that if you don't follow everything he says in the Bible that you're not saved. We're not saved by works. Okay? Hopefully, we all understand that. But he's basically saying, hey, the reason why you guys don't believe these things, the reason why you can't receive the Word of God is because my sheep hear my voice. And basically, he's saying you're not of the sheepfold. You are not saved. You are not a Christian. You are not a believer. And to understand the things in the Bible, you have to be saved. Okay, these things are spiritually discerned, is what the Bible says. But he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He goes on to say they would not follow the voice of a stranger. They're not going to do that. So in other words, when someone comes up to his sheep and says, "Hey, no. Okay, the real way to heaven is based off of your own merits, the works that you do. Or it's a team effort, okay? It's a little bit of Christ's sacrifice, and it's a whole lot of what you're doing." You know, if you're saved, you're listening to the voice of the shepherd, you're not going to follow that individual. That is the voice of a stranger. But really what this means here is the voice of the shepherd is our only means to survival as Christians, okay? That's really what he's saying here. So it's okay that he sends us as sheep in the midst of wolves, because we have his wisdom, we have his voice, we have his instructions, and the only way to survive the race, to make it to the end and get your rewards, and to actually be successful in the Christian life, is by the voice of the shepherd, okay? Now, unfortunately today, and you guys know this, many churches want to downplay the importance of the Bible. They want to downplay, cast doubt on the Word of God and say, well, these things don't say that in the original languages and all that kind of garbage. What does that do? That diminishes the voice of the shepherd, thus making the disciples ineffective, because then they have to rely on the voice of the world. They have to rely on the voice of the scholar, okay, which is the voice of man. It's another voice. So, I'm going to have you guys go back, if you would, to Matthew. Actually, go to Galatians chapter number 1. We'll come back to Matthew 10 here in a moment. Okay, so Jesus says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves." Now, I think a very important way for us to understand the full impact of what he's trying to teach us is to understand that he's comparing our enemies to wolves. They're wolf-like in behavior, okay? So you do a quick study on the animal kingdom. You know, you got your ambush predators, right? You got your lions, you got your, I mean, even your serpents are ambush predators, okay? What do? Well, they lurk and wait, you know, for the right moment, and they just come out and pounce. You know, there's all kinds of videos on YouTube of, you know, lions or jaguars, you know, just popping out and grabbing prey. And oftentimes what you'll see is sometimes they bite off more than they can chew, don't they? They'll pick something that's maybe a little bit too big or a little too aggressive, and it doesn't quite work out for them, okay? The other end of this are endurance predators, and that's what wolves are. Wolves are endurance predators, okay? They're willing to chase you. They're willing to observe you. They're willing to basically go the distance and find weaknesses, okay? It's a different type of beast. It's a different type of animal. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to face our lions. We're not going to face our ambush predators, because we certainly will. But the most dangerous ones are the wolves, okay? The wolves are the ones that say in their hearts, you know, I'm willing to follow you for as long as it takes to find a chink in your armor, to find a gap in your theology, in the way you live your life, or something of this nature, and devour you at the right time, okay? And the way to defeat that, the way to solve that issue, is to basically emulsify these two characteristics, which is the wisdom of a serpent and the harmlessness of a dove, okay? We're not Old Testament Israel. We talk about this all the time. Our job is not to go out and to physically hurt people. We're not like Peter and going to try to cut people's heads off for the kingdom, okay? We get that. We understand that. We have a different battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual, okay? They're words. They're teaching doctrines and things of this nature. Now, this verse confuses a lot of people, because they say, well, aren't serpents in the Bible largely negative? And the answer to that is yes. You know, but what Jesus is not saying, he's not saying combine a serpent, like all the characteristics of a serpent and all the characteristics of a dove. He's not saying that. The verse says the wisdom of a serpent and the harmlessness of a dove. And where Christians run into trouble is when they try to isolate the two too much. Now, we spend a lot of time focusing on the wisdom of the serpent just because it's a little bit difficult, it's deep, it causes you to have to think through that. Whereas being harmless as a dove, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, you know? We're not supposed to go out and engage in physical, you know, warfare, things like that, you know? So you're in Galatians chapter 1, okay? So the first point that I want to bring up, the first attribute, if you will, of wolves is that they are opportunistic hunters, okay? They are opportunistic hunters. And that's not to say that the other prey, the other beasts aren't, but when I was studying this out, wolves, what they do is they test their prey, sensing weakness, vulnerability through visual cues, and even through hearing and scent. Okay. Now your alligator, your crocodile, they get hungry, they see something moving, and boom, it's just on. They just pounce, right? The wolf, not so much. Okay. They communicate, they smell, they look, they see, is this worth spending our resources on? Is this person, or is this potential meal rather, is this worth actually going after? They're a little bit more methodical, a little bit more careful in how they go about doing this. You know, and there are people who have said online multiple times that they're going to wait. You know, they're going to wait 6-7 months before they try to come into this church and infiltrate and do something to us, you know. And it's like, we're always ready. You know, we're always ready, because this isn't our first rodeo. We've had wolves in this place before. We've had people come in here with the sole intention to try to drive a wedge and to cause problems and to stir up trouble. So it's nothing new to us, right? But, you know, these things have to be preached. These things have to be communicated, because, it always happens. There will always be somebody who walks through these doors, wants to make friends, wants to start trouble, and to try to basically devour the church. And I mean, it's wolf-like behavior. You know, there are people out there who literally messaged me and said, you know, I'm going to wait 6 or 7 months until the media dies down, until all this stuff happens, and then I'm going to come to the church and I'm going to do this and do that to you. It's like, fine, we're ready. I'm waiting. Go ahead and try it and see what happens. Okay? I mean, look, we're not backing down from anything that we believe. We don't back down from nothing. That's just how it is. That's how you have to be. But you have to do it correctly. You have to do it with wisdom and harmlessness. We don't wish to have to harm anyone. Right. You know, and what Jesus is saying here is he's not preaching against self-defense. Right? We are more than authorized to defend ourselves physically and obviously spiritually. Okay, so please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the point is, so what does this look like spiritually? Okay, wolves are opportunistic hunters. What would the wolves that would come in here try to do? What would they be trying to sniff out to draw disciples after themselves? Well, it would be a weakness in your doctrine, or it would be a weakness in your ability to apply the Bible, the Word of God, in your life. Okay, that's what they're looking for. You know, thinking back to some of the people who've come in here and have tried to draw away disciples after themselves, those two things are exactly what they've done. They go to people who they think are like-minded and start talking, you know. Oh, you don't really quite believe that doctrine as well? Yeah, you don't really, I'm kind of the same with you. And they keep it quiet and they start talking about it. And then before you know it, they've drawn a disciple away after themselves. You know, what are they doing? They're looking for weakness in your doctrine. They're looking for weakness in your ability to apply the Bible. That's it. That's how they devour. That's how they pounce. And they will wait the distance. They will wait. They will come in here. They will try to even multiply. They will try to gather more people like themselves. You know, I've seen wolves part of this movement for 6 years. Before they were revealed, 7 years before they were revealed, you know, and by the time they're discovered, I mean, they've done some serious damage. They've drawn some serious disciples away for themselves. You know, you're in Galatians chapter number 1, look at verse number 6. So Paul here, dealing with this very same issue here, you know, establishes these churches in Galatia. And what happens? Well, people come in and they start causing division. They start subtly preaching things that aren't true. And look at what Paul says to the Galatian church in verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Okay? Paul's like, this happened so fast that it just bewilders me. I'm just confused by how this could happen to you. Verse 7, he says, which is not another. Okay, it's not like there's two gospels. Right. There's one gospel and everything else is false.
Right.
Okay, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay, leave your place there. Go to Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. So when you read the book of Galatians, you read the epistles to the churches in the New Testament, what you find are people coming into the churches and they're looking for people that are weak on doctrine and weak on application. And those are the ones that they're going to try to attach themselves to, follow, sniff out, observe, listen. They're looking for visual cues. They're looking for everything basically that a wolf does. That's what they do. They just do it spiritually. They do it on a different level, if you would. So you're in Colossians chapter 4. You say, what do we do about this? Okay, why is this important here? Why is application important? Isn't it just good enough for me to just know the Bible just like with a head knowledge? Isn't that just good enough? And you're going to see, no, that is not the case. Okay, you're in Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. So Paul tells the Colossians, he says this, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Okay, what does that mean? What does without mean? Outside. Okay, he's saying, hey, you guys that are saved, you believers, you need to walk in wisdom towards those that are without, that are not in the church, that are not saved, that are not in Christ. He says, redeeming the time. So your time here, obviously on earth, is limited. We don't know how much time that we have. But here's the other thing that's going to come to play later in this sermon. Okay, this is part of being wise as a serpent. Okay, opportunities come and opportunities go. And you have to understand that in order to be successful. So Paul says the best way to do that is to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. So in other words, you don't want to be a good holy Christian, you know, on Sunday, and then Monday you're at work just acting like everybody else. Okay, because they're going to sniff that out in you. They're going to know that you're a hypocrite. They're going to know that you're a fraud. They're going to know that something is wrong. And then what always happens after that? They draw you away. I've seen it. We've all seen that in here. I want to say a million times, but honestly, it's like 40 times, you know. It happens all the time. Look at verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to. And here's the key. Answer every man. This is why we teach things over and over again. This is why we're always harping on application, okay? So verse 5, that's your application. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Now, obviously, we need knowledge, okay? But the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. So how do we stop our heads from getting so big and floating us around town like we're know-it-alls? Well, you apply it, okay? You try these things out. And in that process, you're going to fail. You're going to fall on your face. You're going to make some mistakes. And that's going to base you a little bit, okay? And through that experience of applying the Word of God, you're going to come into wisdom, which is what you need to display towards them that are without. We don't want to go up to people that aren't saved and act like we're the best thing. I mean, that's what the world Christians do. You know, oh, I'm better than you on this. Oh, I don't do this. Oh, I don't eat pork. Oh, I don't eat shellfish. You know, all this kind of garbage. You know, and they're just like thinking, oh, so that's what this is about. It's a show, right? No, that's not walking circumspectly. That's not wise, okay? Part of being wise is actually letting people know, hey, I'm a sinner just like you. You know, I make mistakes just like you, probably even more. The only difference between us and a lost person is that we're saved. We're saved sinners. That's it. Okay, Jesus is the one that paid the sin debt for the world. Okay, and when we have that truth and we walk in that, people see that and hopefully, you know, they'll start to, oh, right, it's not about the works. This guy struggles with this too. Nothing bothers me more than these people that just act like they have no problems. I've got it all put together. Because we know that's not true. Everybody in here has things that they struggle with. Everybody in here has things that they don't talk about. All of us do, okay? But the question is, are you willing to work on those things? Are you willing to be honest? Are you willing to walk in wisdom towards them that are without? And he says in verse 6 here, this is your doctrine. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man, okay? Think about the application here. We're called to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There's a lot of questions out there that the world has that we don't oftentimes know the answers to. So what do? We go to the Word of God and we look at what it says and we study these things. And in the process of doing that, what are you doing? You're preserving yourself in this race called the Christian life. Okay, so that's going to help you in your endurance because you have an interest. Like, I need to be able to answer these guys. I need to be able to answer these dispensationalists. I need to be able to answer these atheists downtown who want to try to twist the Old and New Testament and say they don't mix and match and stuff like that, right? In the process of doing that, okay, you now are creating for yourself a system of endurance, and guess what? Now you're able to hopefully outpace the wolves, okay? Because what is the wolf doing? The wolf is testing you. That is what they do. They are testing you. They are trying to sense weakness or vulnerability through visual cues and even through hearing and scent. Now, we've had people come in here before with the Joe Biden syndrome and trying to sniff little kids, and that guy didn't last too long, okay? So you got to understand that most wolves aren't like that. They're not coming in here smelling you. You know, that's too obvious. That's just too easy. But the application here, the way that we resist the attack from the wolves is we become a group of people that is committed to learning doctrine, but also applying doctrine. That is how we grow. That is how we strengthen ourselves as believers. That is how we resist the opportunistic predator. Okay? So go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Second Timothy chapter number 4. So again, point number 1, okay? Wolves are opportunistic hunters, okay? They are trying to test. They're looking for people that are weak in doctrine, weak in application. Now, number 2 is this. Wolves are endurance predators. I've been saying it all morning, okay? Wolves are endurance predators. They are willing to follow you for a very good distance. Okay, go look up videos on YouTube about wolves. They're willing to follow a buck for miles if they believe that there's something in that animal that they can actually exploit, a weakness, if you will, that they can to jump on to try to get that. And also we need to remember this. You know, we're outnumbered. You in the workforce, you're outnumbered. You and your families, by and large, are outnumbered. Unless your last name's Akers. You know, then you might be okay, but not all of us, you know, are in Mike's family. Somebody take Mike to the daddy baby room for me. He's not laughing. He's over there angry. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 3. 2 Timothy 4, look at verse number 3. So look what Paul tells the pastor here. He tells Timothy this in verse number 3. He says this, "For the time will come when they," okay, the Christians, the people that he's teaching, church members. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And I believe that every church has this situation happen to them. And Paul's like, hey, you're going to have well-meaning believers in your church. You're going to have Christians that are with you, that are learning, that are studying. He says, but you know what? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay, what is the wolf? The wolf is an endurance predator. The wolf is willing to go the extra mile. He's willing to go with you in your journey. And Paul says, hey, you know, there are people that will not endure sound doctrine. Okay, what was part of the application for point number one? Doctrine. How strong are you in your doctrine? Are you applying your doctrine? Well, not only are wolves opportunistic and looking for that, but they have endurance, okay? And guess what? Doctrine is something that needs to be endured as God's people. You know, it's easy for us in the flesh to start to hear the truths about salvation. It's like, oh man, salvation again. Oh man, this doctrine again. Oh man, the rapture again, you know, prophecy again, you know. And sometimes just any doctrine can wear on you because all doctrine in some capacity needs to be applied, right? And people, and I'm people too, you know, we get tired of being told and having our toes stepped on, okay? I mean, it's just a fact. We get sick and tired of it. But the question is, can you reach your hand down into your gut and pull up some intestinal fortitude? I mean, that's the question. You know, can you man up or woman up or whatever it is, okay? Can you endure sound doctrine? That's the test of time. That is the question here, okay? And for those that don't, what do? But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. How many of us have seen that over the years? A lot of us have, okay? So the wolf, the enemy, he knows that. You know, the wolf comes in looking for that guy who's been here for a few years, you know, who may be on the brink of not being able to endure. You know, I just want something new. I'm tired of the same old. You know, something new. And then he pulls out his phone. Oh, have you seen this? Yea, hath God said. Okay? Start giving a little bit of that serpent attitude. And then the next thing you know, you are off being devoured by the wolves. Look at verse 4. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Okay? We've seen that early this year with a kid who used to lead a soul winning program in this church. Now he's running around town saying he would never even raise his own kids in this church. How do you go from leading soul winning on Wednesdays to I would never raise my kids in that church? How does that happen? Because you can't endure sound doctrine. That's how it happens. You know what? And sometimes the wolf is you. Sometimes it's the old man. Sometimes you're just losing the battle between the new man and the old man. And you wake up every day and you start putting on that old man. And that old man is a wolf in itself. That old man is looking to see if you can endure. That old man is looking for an opportunity. That old man is looking to devour you. And he is strong because you can't put him off physically. The only way to do that is to die. Okay? So understand that. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Unto fables that you can be some great one, right? The world is always coming after us. Look at what you're giving up. Oh, you go to church on Sunday? Twice? Oh, you got to go soul winning? Oh, you got to read the Bible and pray? You got to do all this stuff? Look at all this money that you're missing out on. Hey, look at your athletic ability. You could really be someone. Man, you could be like LeBron. You could be like Michael Jordan. You could be like Ken Griffey Jr. You could be like John Jones of the UFC. No, you can't. Most of you can't. Most of us can't. Oh, you could be a body. Not many people in here good. I'm just being honest. Even on gear, most people in here are not going to get to that elite level. So why spend your life trying for that? What will it get you? It'll get you to heaven saying, man, look at what I missed out on. It's going to cost you at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it's going to do. Yeah, you're saved. Thank God for that. You could never lose your salvation, but you can always be losing your rewards. Look at verse 5. So Paul says, hey, Timothy, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So in other words, hey,
You're going to have to endure people not enduring sound doctrine. You're going to have to endure the affliction and the trouble and the emotions that comes from that. So if you ever want to get into the ministry, you have to be tough. You have to be willing to look at people going this route and not let it affect you. You have to be willing to endure that. Because it's always at the door. It's always coming. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. So again here, we see that we have to endure things as Christians. Not to stay saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Okay? But to finish the race. Okay? Because your options are this. You either get devoured by the wolves or you defeat the wolves. And if the wolves knock you out of the race, they win. You lose at the judgment seat. You miss out. You don't get to use the gifts that God gave you. And the enemy wins. So what do we do about it? Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse number 30. So the Bible says this. The Bible says, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. We need to understand and realize that we are of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. We are of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His word, His wisdom is what we have to live by in order for us to survive the wolves, in order to survive these attacks. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 28. We read this verse number 1 on Wednesday, but we're going to read it again here. Okay? So in the midst of wolves, we want to be like the lion that doesn't turn away for any. You know, who's ever seen videos of like hyenas, you know, surrounding a lion, right? And they're all coming at him and he just doesn't turn away. Just even though he knows he's probably going to lose, he just keeps going at him, just keeps fighting. That's how we have to be. That's how you have to be in your family. That's how you have to be at work. That's how you have to be in your community. That's how you have to be even in here sometimes. You don't back down from any. You don't turn away from people. When the going gets tough, you know, the tough gets going. G.I. Joe taught you that if you're an 80s kid, you know? And he was partially right. Proverbs 28, look at verse number 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. You see this all the time in so-called Christianity. Now, I've been in churches before where somebody called, and they're not even mad. They're just like, oh, somebody left this invite on my door, and I was sleeping. And they're like, oh, okay, no more. You guys can't be knocking on doors anymore. I've been to a church, Northwest Baptist Church in Port Orchard. As soon as daylight saving time shows up and you knock on someone's door after 5 o'clock when it's dark and they call and they're not even that upset, the pastor's like, no more until spring. Okay, guys? What is that? It's like Brother Jeff said this morning. That's being weak, being scared. That's what that is. Okay? Look, we have a message to preach. We need to preach the right gospel. Okay, and if it's 0 degrees out, that's what we're going to be doing. Because we don't turn away for any. Look at Proverbs 28:1 again. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Okay, you need that boldness. But how do you get that? Well, you get that by doctrine. You get that by application and making that consistent. And understanding in your heart that you have to endure sound doctrine. Can you endure correction? Can you endure sound doctrine? If you can, guess what? You're in good shape. You're going to make it. You're not going to have problems. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 14. So number 3. So number 1, we took a look at the opportunistic hunter, right? The wolf seeks opportunity. Whereas the ambush predator is just like, I'm hungry. There's something to eat. I'm going for it. Bit off more than I can chew. I love when that happens to us. You know, it happens to you guys all the time at the door. You're knocking on the door and someone's like, oh, mixed fabrics. And you're like, bam. And they're like, oh, crap. You know, they didn't take the time to study you. They didn't take the time to actually find a weakness. They just tried you and then you smashed them and then they got humble. And some of you have gotten people saved in that situation where they're like, uh-oh. Maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I am misled, okay? And so again, the real threat, though, is from the people that are always around you, at your job, in your family, maybe sometimes even at church, that are constantly looking, constantly observing, constantly trying to find a way to get to you, okay? That is far more dangerous, in my opinion, than the ambush predator. So number 3, is this. So wolves prefer large hoof game over small game. Now, obviously, they'll take the rabbit out. They'll take small things out. But they would prefer to take down a moose. They would prefer to take down an elk or an antelope or, you know, just some large game. Okay? Why is that? Well, we're going to take a look at that here. So you're in Deuteronomy chapter number 14. We're going to read here in verse number 6, okay? And I'm going to read this here. We'll talk about the application here in the picture here in just a second. But look at verse number 6. Obviously, this is being preached to Old Testament Israel, which basically, guess what? There was one law, you know, and in Old Testament Israel, they mixed politics and religion. It was the same. It was one and the same. What God said is what it was, okay? Look at verse 6. So talking about food here, verse number 6 says this, "And every beast that parteth the hoof and cleaveth the cleft into two claws and cheweth the cud among beasts, that ye shall eat." So talking about clean versus unclean here. We'll come back to that in a second. Look at verse 7. "Nevertheless, ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, as a hare, and the coney, for they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore, they are unclean unto you." Okay, verse 8. "And the swine," okay, or the pig, "and the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass." So between these three verses here, you have a picture of what is clean and what is unclean, okay? And so in verse 6, it says, "You're able to eat of every beast that parteth the hoof." Again, that is a picture of greatness. That is a picture of purity. That is a picture of cleanness or righteousness, okay? And so what would be the preferred meal, obviously, during this time? Well, obviously, it's something that is clean. Okay, it would be very wrong for you in Old Testament Israel to eat the things mentioned here in verse 7, verse 8. Now, obviously, in our times, this has changed. I don't have time to get into that right now. But the idea here is the wolf is not necessarily looking for the unclean thing. Okay, the wolves of today, they're not worried so much about going down to Create Church or Tree City Church of the Nazarene. They're not so much worried about going in there because they eat of the unclean thing. They part the hoof. Okay? You say, well, what do you mean they part the hoof? They eat of the unclean thing. Well, they bring the sacrifice of cross from up here to down here. You say, how do they do that? Because all of them teach that you have to do something in order to receive salvation. Meaning you have to have some sort of achievement. You have to turn from your sins. You have to do some kind of work, okay, for your salvation. And also, they don't believe that God has preserved his word as it was written for us today. You know this. They don't believe it. You say, oh, yes, no, they don't. If you're using multiple Bible versions, you are what I call an OMO, original manuscript onlyist. The people, you know, sometimes we'll hand them an invite out in town. They're like, oh, you're King James only. Well, that's pretty divisive. Well, that's pretty limiting. Okay. Look, a church is one of two things. They're either King James only, meaning truth only. In America, in English-speaking countries, okay, you're either King James only or you're original manuscript only. If you're original manuscript only, you're using the NIV, you're using the ESV. And we talk about this all the time. They say different things. They contradict each other. Yep. It is unclean. So the wolf's like, you know, that's not really going to satisfy. I'd rather take down a large hoofed animal. I'd rather take down something pure, something very clean that could feed my whole clan or feed my whole ego in some regards. Okay, go to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. And by the way, wolves love going into these old independent fundamental Baptist churches. They love going inside of there because there are some gaps in their doctrine. And look, there are some great old independent fundamental Baptist churches out there that I still respect and still love to this day. But I'm telling you, there are some gaps in their doctrine. There are some gaps in their application. And wolves are constantly coming inside of those organizations to destroy and to take down. So, the bigger the kill, the more they can feed. Whether that's ego of two or whether that's a group out in town, doesn't matter. They're looking for the most righteous and to do the most damage, okay? Acts chapter 20, look at verse 29. So Paul here about to depart says this. He says this, I know in verse 29, he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise. Look at this. Of your own selves, people that were around you, that studied with you, that applied with you, that learned with you. He says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So he's saying, hey, you guys need to understand, there will be people who get bitter and want influence, and those people will attempt to draw away disciples after themselves. Now, some people might say, oh, well, that was only for them back then. No, that was for us today. Because we've seen it even in this church. You know, and I'm not trying to say that those churches out there don't deal with that, because they do. You know, if they can't get it going in here, they're going to go somewhere, because wolves have to eat. Wolves have to feed themselves. But what I'm saying is they would love much more to take down a church like this, where you have people, obviously, that are saved, that are standing on doctrine and applying the Bible. They would love to divide this up as opposed to that, which is already divided. They don't know which way to go. Oh, is it NIV? Is it ESV? Is it works? Is it not works? I'd love to take something like this down. Go back to Matthew chapter number 10. And so obviously the solution here is very easy. It's what we've been talking about. The more wise, loyal people that we have watching and observing, the better. Something that as a pastor we need to always be on the lookout for. Always on the lookout for this type of behavior where someone is trying to draw away after themselves or sow seeds of discourse. Or not, you know, if I ever hear people not standing up for the church, I may not kick you out, but I take note of that. It's interesting. Why wouldn't you try to help this person? It's a problem. Something going on here. That's all I'm saying. So Matthew chapter number 10, again, look at verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. This is us. Okay, now obviously this is part of the special mission trip. Okay. But guess what? The Christian life is a mission trip. Soul winning is a mission trip. I mean, just trying to run the race of being a Christian is going to place you in the midst of wolves. So we have to understand, every single one of you, you're being hunted. We are being hunted. And our enemy has the same characteristics of wolves. They're not necessarily the ambush predators that we have to worry about. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that comes up. We talk about that from time to time. It's the wolf. It's the one looking for the opportunity. It's the endurance predator. It's the one that travels in packs. Okay, it's the one who's willing to go in his mind or their minds the distance with us. So he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. If we could be okay with the fact that we're sheep and we need the voice of the shepherd, we understand that's the way that we're going to survive this thing. That's how we're going to come out on top. That is how we are going to basically live and survive. He says this, be ye therefore wise as serpents. Doesn't say be a snake. Be a serpent. No, be wise as serpents. So look at how the serpent moves. Look at what he does, how he operates. The snake is very careful at how he moves when he moves, right? The serpent is discerning. He's observant, right? What does a snake do? Put a snake out here. The first thing he's going to do? He's going to start looking around for a place to hide. He's going to lay low, in other words. Okay, so this is the first thing that we need to understand here, is that the snake is going to understand his surroundings, understand his circumstance, which is a great piece of application for us. For example, you start a new job or you get a new person maybe that's working with you, you go to a new church, you go to a new thing, you know, you need to kind of lay low. Because the tendency for us is, oh, I believe all this stuff, and you know, and to just come out power barfing with all this stuff. It's not wise. Okay? The serpent doesn't just come, the serpent doesn't just knock on your door like, hey, I'm here. You know, look at all this stuff I can do. No, the serpent lays low, watches, gathers facts, is discerning, is careful. Okay? You know, these ambush predators, what do they do? I'm hungry, I'm strong, there's something I can devour, I'm going to attempt it. Okay? Serpent's not quite like that. The serpent is very methodical, very careful. And then once the serpent gathers the facts, once he has the information and understands the surroundings, what does he do? Coils up. It's how you can tell when a snake is about to bite you is if it's coiled. You need to be extra careful. Now, if I see any kind of snake, I'm out. It don't matter, okay? It's coiled or not, I'm running the other way. I don't like that stuff. Some of you are, oh, what's the big deal? Good on you. You're better than me. You're tougher than me. I don't care. I don't like them. And some of you that's saying that, you don't like the spiders. So how about I put a spider on your pillow and see what happens? Okay, we'll play this game all day. So the first thing, I'll just leave you with two things. Number one is the serpent understands the circumstances, then coils up, okay? What does that mean? Well, obviously in life, there's a temptation for us to always act too quickly. I find myself doing this all the time. There's a temptation for us to act quickly, make quick, judgments and just rash decisions. You know, you've heard me say before, I was taught this a long time ago, it's better to act than to react. I oftentimes, like Paul, find myself just reacting. You know, something happens, I'm just like, oh, I gotta come get you. It's not wise. Okay, we need to be reminded that the best thing to do is to be like the serpent and to get into a position where we can coil up. Okay, which leads us to number two. This helps us to strike when ready. But remember, we're supposed to be harmless as doves. Okay, so you're not coiling up, right? You don't want to be just coming to church all the time, just like coiled up, like ready to pounce on anybody who don't, you know, say hi to you or, you know, whatever, you know. We want to be harmless as doves. So we want to be able to engage whatever situation we're in appropriately. Okay, so like when people come in to the church and they're here for a few months, maybe they say something a little bit different or they believe differently on a passage than you, right? You don't want to be like, false prophet. You're a wolf, right? You're a wolf. We had two guys last year in here. They were constantly like that, right? One kid sitting right there all the time. You know, a guy who hasn't been to this church for 6 months, who's a good dude, comes back for a visit, right? And this guy who's been here now for like 8 months, is like, he's a false prophet. I looked up his YouTube page and I basically study him. You know, we need to get rid of him. He's degenerate. It's like, you're degenerate. It's like, do you even understand what you're saying right now? You're out of line. Like, that guy had no discernment, no judgment, you know, nothing. Just ambush predator. You know who I'm talking about, most of you. This same guy would go to parks over in Cuna and just go up to women and just start yelling at them for how they're dressed. Okay? Is that wise? Is that a good testimony? Is that walking wisely in front of them that are without? No, it makes us look stupid. Those are the phone calls I don't like getting. Now a guy come knocking on my door. The first thing he said is, I'm going to hell. We don't have that anymore, but we used to have people that would do stuff like that. Hey, you seen New World Order Bible versions, huh? Hey, you know Billy Graham's going to hell? It's like, whoa. Like, at least tell him what church you're from first. Maybe say hi. How you doing? I mean, come on, man. What is wrong with people? So number one, okay, what does the snake do? Finds a place to conceal himself. Now, I'm not saying, you know, show up to church or just be quiet, don't talk to anybody. No, you don't want to do that, you know. You want to be friendly, obviously, but I'm talking about in your environment, you know, in your family, you know, when your unsaved family's around. A lot of you know this, okay? You want to kind of lay low, kind of see where they're at. Is this the right time to engage? Is this the right time for a discussion on the gospel? And some of you have had that recently. You know, because here's the thing. If you don't discern the situation, if you don't understand that those people may not be ready yet, you're going to miss your chance. You're not going to be able to strike. You want to be coiled up. You want to be ready for the right time. Because guess what? Like I said earlier, these opportunities come and they go. So let's say you're coiled up, but you fall asleep, right? And the guy's sitting there like, what must I do to be saved? And you're just like, oh, I don't know. You know, you're just not thinking. You're thinking about something else. You're not ready. You're not ready to give that answer. Then you miss that opportunity. Okay, and that pray for you, in that sense, goes away. It goes bye-bye, and then, you know, we lose. And so the way, again, to survive in the wolf pack is to emulsify, to mix the wisdom of a serpent and the harmlessness of a dove. Now, when you isolate those two from each other, you have a problem. Okay, because guess what? You know, weak people are a problem. And we've talked about this before. You know, a lot of Christians, oh, they just want to emphasize, oh, you just be harmless as a dove, harmless as a dove. Meaning you don't ever want to tell anybody the truth because it might hurt their feelings. And they might start crying or this and that. You know, sometimes people need to have their toes stepped on. Sometimes people need to hear the truth, even though it might turn them against you for a season. Even though they might walk away. It doesn't matter. People need to hear the truth. So that obviously wasn't what Jesus was talking about. Okay, what was he saying? We don't want to be intentionally harmful to people. That's what he's saying. So when you can combine that harmlessness with that wisdom, you're going to come out on top. You're going to be the one with endurance. You're going to be the one with the opportunity. And you will be the one to seize the right moment. You know, and in the midst of wolves, you'll be able to call them out at the right time. We have to understand we've got a certain amount of energy, and we need to use that energy appropriately. We need to use that at the right time. We need to pick and choose our battles, is what I'm saying. Not every single little thing that someone does wrong to us is worth pouting and fighting about. It's just not. I'm sorry, but it's just not. It's not wise. It's not okay. And when you understand how the serpent behaves and you can combine his wisdom to conceal, to lay low, and to discern his circumstances, and you apply that spiritually. You just apply that in anything. Apply that in just your job. You know, maybe you see something at work that's a problem and you're wondering, how am I going to explain this to the boss? Okay, apply that wisdom. And don't just come out and be like, hey, you guys have been doing it wrong for the last 5 years. Who are you to say that? There's a better way to go about doing it. You want to do it in a tactful manner, you know, by maybe demonstration or asking questions that bring up thought, that provoke thought. So, oh, you know, that's a good question. Right? That's the better way to operate as God's people. And what else does that do? Well, that helps us to walk in wisdom towards them that are without. So they're not looking at us like, oh, this guy's just a nothing but a know-it-all, knows everything, just a clown. Right? We don't want to come off that way to people, which is why we need sermons like this. And I'm going back to the public school kid. There's a lot of believers out there. There's a lot of people that agree with us on things, you know, and they're in public school. And public school is a very crazy place today, you know. I mean, I'm a public school kid. Came out all right. But it's a total different animal today. What about them? They need to do the same things. And it's really no different than being in the workforce. Going to the workforce, there's a lot of crazy stuff. People believe a lot of weird things out there. I guarantee wherever most of you guys work, you're working with people that don't agree with our doctrine, that don't like this church, that don't like me, you know, that don't like you, whatever it is, okay? There is wisdom in this for you to survive that situation because, look, we're not of the world, meaning we're not born of the world. The world is not our source. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been born again. We're in the kingdom of heaven. We're of God, but we're in the world. We have to function in the world. And so obviously we want to combine these two attributes so that we can be as successful as possible. That doesn't guarantee you won't have any fights. It doesn't guarantee you're not going to have any battles because you will. Okay? But when you remember these things, you're going to come out on top. You're going to be better off. And you know, those people that just won't listen, that just constantly attack you, they're just the fools of the world is what I'm trying to say. You know, you can make them look foolish without telling them they're foolish. Simply by just laying low, not letting these things bother you, or at least not letting other people know that they bother you. And then taking that right time, looking for the right time to actually engage, to make a decision, or to strike, if you will, not physically, but spiritually, whatever that looks like. Okay, take the appropriate action, make the appropriate decisions. You know, you don't want to make these decisions before you've discerned your situation. You know, and Jesus sending these 12 disciples, his 12 apostles, sending them out, they would have to do this in order to survive these people. They're going into towns, you know, preaching things, going against the Sadducees, going against the Pharisees, going against the scribes. And so they were going to meet resistance. They were going to have issue. Okay? He said, look, you're not Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. You're not Jehu. Okay? This mission is different. You're not going to go out there and lop people's heads off. Okay? We're preaching the gospel. That's what we're doing. Okay? And that's the good reminder for us today. And obviously, you guys know this. And so we're going to stop right there, and we will cover more of chapter number 10 on Wednesday. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church and for everything that you do for us. Just pray you help us to remember these things and to apply them to our lives so that we may walk in wisdom towards them that are without. In Jesus' name I pray.
All right, so for our final hymn this morning, let's grab those books one final time. We'll turn to song number 110, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. A great song, number 110, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. On the first,
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside me? tender mercy, who through life has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit grows immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Amen. Great singing. Brother Anthony, will you close us with a word of prayer, please?